We open our Bibles again to Colossians 2, verse 5. This message, as well as the morning one, really does have the renters, especially in mind, and our connection with them. We'll keep praying for them and hope they may be able to join us through the webcast tonight. But if not, I know they'll be listening later. And in that sense, as we'll think about tonight, they're with us in spirit. Colossians 2, verse 5, I've been thinking about, anticipating them needing to be in the hospital and not with us on the Lord's Day, which is an unusual experience for us, right? Glad they're there and pray for their healing and rest. But let's look tonight at this scripture. May the Lord bless us in our sense of communion and fellowship. Colossians 2, verse 5, hear now the word of the Lord. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And the part I'm interested to really think about tonight with you is this phrase that Paul says, I'm absent in the flesh, but I'm with you in the spirit. I'm with you in the spirit. Again, I'm thinking of the Renners possibly watching remotely through our webcast at the moment. It may be they're not able to because of how things have been going, but certainly they'll be listening to the sermons later. They were really, well, Linda, so far as Ron's been sleeping, very encouraged to hear about our visitor today and all the developments there. We have this idea, at least I've been kind of thinking of this idea, that even though they wouldn't be here with us today, it'd be almost like they're here. You know, you just kind of know they're praying for us, they're really caring about the service, wishing they could be here with us, and hopefully able to watch with us in our unique modern technology times with the webcast. But it's almost like they're practically here, and they're going to want to know how things went. And if they are able to watch with the webcast, there's even more of a sense of being able to be with us here in the spirit, though not in the body. There are others very often in the evening watching from all over the world, actually. Our evening services, I don't mean to give the impression that it's thousands of people, even hundreds, but it's always amazing that there are people watching from all over the world live with us, and they're believers, I would trust, and they're having that sense of caring enough to want to worship with us this evening, though separated in distance. You know, we have expressions, I think, that get at the idea tonight I'm interested to explore with this verse and essentially mostly what it's saying. We have expressions like, my heart is with you. You know, my heart is with you. I can't be with you at the moment, but I want you to know my heart is with you. I'm thinking of you. I've been following you. Someone said that to me a little while ago, and it wasn't what it might sound like. But at a distance, that he kind of expressed, I've been keeping track of your situation and how your church has been working through things, and I've been impressed, and it's been an encouragement to me as I've been working through, not the same thing, but challenges. I've been following you, and so just been of having an interest in and keeping in touch and connected with. We have a phrase sometimes, soulmates. That person's my soulmate. I'm not going to get into whether that's a doctrinal thing as appropriate, but there's this sense sometimes of just feel like, meant to be, we just connect, meant to be together. In school, sometimes they have something called a spirit day, you know, a rally day where they're all celebrating and expressing kind of a oneness and a unity, kind of in contrast to other schools, usually with a little bit of competition with the other schools, right, with sports or what have you. And often they'll say, show some school spirit. And they're kind of expressing that idea of being one in the same spirit of things, the same expression. And these are expressions of mutual affection, mutual interest, mutual connectedness, mutual commitment, mutual loyalty that can be expressed and kind of almost felt and experienced, though it is based particularly on covenant. We have the same spirit or attitude, Paul says, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 18, he says, we walked in the same spirit. Now, in those two places, this word spirit is not capitalized. It's not seeming to refer to the Holy Spirit, but just the idea of that same spirit, right? That same kind of, not school spirit, but church spirit, that same mind and heart of Christ we have together, walking with the same mind, as Paul says in Philippians 2, right? The same commitment, the same unity together. Though Christians are often separated physically by space, they are always connected spiritually in Christ. And at the very least, lowercase s. I'm going to explore a little bit the larger case s idea. But I give that to you as the main idea of our text. Though Christians are often separated physically by space, they are always connected spiritually in Christ. I should say when I give that to you as the idea of the text, it's kind of the narrow phrase I'm looking at. We'll look at the broader context. It's not that we are ubiquitous. That means we're not all everywhere at the same time. Paul's not saying, I'm literally like right there watching you, right? Even if he had a webcast at the time, he wouldn't be saying, I'm actually literally there. It's not that we're omniscient. We're not teleported to a moment, although there are a few interesting scriptures, at least one where the prophet says, I was kind of there watching, and the commentators are saying, I don't think that's really what Paul is saying. But we do have a real interest in one another. We do have a real love that you can almost feel, you know what I mean? We know it's by virtue of covenant, it's by virtue of a mutual commitment and loyalty, but there's a familial experience of it. There's a real something to it. And I'm kind of exploring that together with you. Matthew Poole does point out to us that it's mainly Paul when he says, I'm absent in the body, because he's literally absent. In fact, if you look at the whole context, it doesn't seem they've ever met one another. The Colossians haven't met Paul. He hasn't met them. They've never actually seen his face. So it seems he's mainly talking about this idea that it's as if I'm with you because I'm of the same spirit and I'm supporting you. Matthew Poole points out that Paul's basically expressing a great affection and interest at a distance. You know, plenty of people that are interested, paying no attention. There's no presence in the spirit in any sense, right? They're just completely at a distance and at a distance in terms of their interest as well. Meyer speaks about it as united with you through the warmest community of interest. It's kind of what he's saying. The pulpit commentary recommending Lightfoot says, Paul's saying, I have a watchful interest in you at a distance, a heartfelt act of Christian loyalty. The Cambridge Bible for School and College says that there's a, similarly, it could be connected to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. There's a similar expression there where Paul says, I'm absent in the body, but I'm with you in the spirit. There it is clearly an issue of oversight and discipline. Paul's saying, while I'm not there to make this decision and really enforce the discipline, it's as if I'm there. I am judging you, though I'm not physically present. I'm making this judgment, and you need to respect it. And you know, it sounds similar to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 20, when you walk through the steps of discipline, if it has to go to the levels of the church leaders, Jesus says, when you make a decision, I will be there in the midst of you. Now, of course, Jesus' body is in heaven, right? His humanity is in heaven. But by virtue of the Spirit of Christ, he's with us. He's present with us and that kind of a thing. And it seems Paul's almost saying something similar, although not that he, you know, is God, but through the Spirit of God, there's a sense of his presence there. Even here in Colossians, there's an aspect of giving them a judgment. Though he's not present, it's as if he's present. He's telling them to really take him seriously. Calvin points out in Colossians 2, verse 5, that because he is remote, in fact, they've not been introduced face-to-face, and they haven't personally met, and because it's a bit of an admonition, although nothing like 1 Corinthians, he is putting it in the context of love and encouragement. Hey, it's as if I'm with you. I have a great connection to you. My spirit is with you. I am in the same spirit with you. We're on the same team. I really care about you, and I want you to keep in mind that's why I'm giving you this strong guidance. Look at verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So many of you, you've never seen my face. I'm absent in the body, and you've never seen me. And my eyeballs have never laid eyes on you, right? You know, you've never laid eyeballs on me. So it could be like, well, what do you care, Paul? You've never even met us. And you could imagine, like, it's pretty amazing sometimes. You might know someone for a long time at a distance, and you care so much about that person. You have that spirit of care for one another, although you've never, ever met. It's really a profound thing, isn't it? That is, I think, the main and probably perhaps the only thing he's especially commenting on. But I want to think more about it with you. First, look at verse 2, though. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Notice the idea of hearts being knit together. Now, of course, these are all figurative expressions, but your hearts knit together in love and to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So there's that idea of mystery. And there are phrases in the New Testament that do speak of the mystery of things. And it isn't that something's not been being revealed, but there's an aspect of mystery about it, okay? Now, we're not saying mystic. That's an important distinction. But there's an aspect of a mystery about it, okay? Look at verse 6 with me. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in him. You've received him. And of course, everybody's received the saved Christ. There's one Christ, there's one Spirit, there's one Lord, there's one walk in Christ. So there's a sense of walking together by virtue of us walking in Christ and following him. Now, you think about Philippians 2, where we've been. We just finished the chapter a little while ago. Paul has really been emphasizing this idea of having unity. And he's been saying, may you have the same mind of Christ. So again, that's the idea of same spirit, the same commitment, the same loyalty. Now, we see this, as we sang in Psalm 133, and have often as we've gotten through Philippians 2, this shared spirit of unity is so palpable, it's so real, you can practically feel or taste or touch it, that it is described in physical terms of how it's manifested. Though you can't actually touch it, it's talked about in things that you can see and touch. Now, of course, figuratively, but that's because it's such a real thing. Maybe, though, there is a little more to it, or at least what is behind what he's mainly saying. We're of the same spirit, lowercase s. I'm with you in the spirit, lowercase, in the same church spirit, the same heart. Even though we've never met, maybe we'll never meet. Boy, I feel like I'm there with you. And I feel like I know you and you know me, because we're of the same Christian commitment in Christ, the same mind in Christ. Though that be the case, if you don't mind thinking a little bit with me here, 1 Corinthians 12 at least can partly inform, I think, these thoughts and encourage us. John Gill, for instance, points out that when he talks about Colossians 2, verse 5, he writes, we're members of the same body, actuated by the same spirit and by virtue of their union to each other in their common head. They have the same affection and care, though they've never seen them with bodily eyes. But he talks about by virtue of their union. Now, that's a spiritual thing, a mysterious thing. We do say mystical union. By virtue of their union in Christ, there's a union together by the Holy Spirit. Surely there's some kind of mystical union because of the Holy Spirit. It can't be completely out of the picture. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And he is everywhere. And he is not many spirits. I don't mean to... We're not equating our own spirits with the Spirit. We're not wanting to confuse anything. But the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is a real thing for all of us. And therefore, there would seem to be some kind of a spiritual connectedness in terms of the mystical union we have. I want you to turn with me ahead to Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, he's speaking in the second person plural. He's not speaking to one person. He's speaking to Christians. He says, your life is hid together with Christ, and Christ is sitting at the right hand of God in the heavens, and your lives are actually hid there. In some sense, I mean, I don't want to overthink these things and make mistakes, but there's an aspect of, because of Christ, mostly also his federal representation of us, but nonetheless there is this speaking of us, of if we're there because of our union in Christ. Paul says all over the place, we are in Christ, we are with Christ, and that would be that we therefore are together in Christ. He speaks of the church only always as one. In Philippians, surely he did express a longing for the Philippians and that he wished he could be with them in person. And he hopes to be there soon and thinks he will. But because that's so important, he sends Epaphroditus, bringing the letter to the Philippians, remember, to be there physically in their presence. And he said he would later send Timothy ahead of him. Because yet, there is such an importance of being personally present together, right? And in heaven, that's what we're looking forward to, our resurrected bodies literally, physically being together in the Spirit, worshiping God. So we're not wanting to downplay the idea of our bodies, but we have our limitations here in the meantime. And we recognize the importance of being together. We're not trying to argue from this that we can just do online worship. Absolutely not. We would think that's horrible. There are moments where we might allow for a time to get through something like we have with COVID, but we long to be back together, and it's much better to be back together. And don't forget, when I trust one day we'll be through things enough, I'll still argue the Bible's teaching we should be giving each other holy kisses. You can go to John Murray in our library if you want to see that too. So there's something about the literal physical being together. But let's think about Galatians 5, 16 and 25. Where we are called to walk in the Spirit as Christians. And that's capital S there. We're called to walk in the Spirit. And again, if we're walking with Christ, if we're walking in the Spirit, then there's some kind of connectedness that goes beyond, I think, just a federal, representative, covenantal connectedness, but a sense of a real vital spiritual union. And I think it's actually a blessed thought. Colossians 2, verse 6, if you go back to our first chapter we're in tonight, the verse following, verse 5, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, of course, that's figurative speech. It's a metaphor. Walk according to the ways of the Lord. Walk following him. But it isn't just that. It's really walk in Christ. Have him walking in you. Because he says, what did we read in John 15 tonight? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and I abide in you, or you can do nothing. That's surely speaking with the image of the vine and the branches of some kind of real connectedness, a vital mystical union. We can do nothing, nothing without the power of Christ in us. And when we're told to walk in the Spirit and walk in Christ, surely we're walking together in him in some kind of spiritual connectedness. John 14, verse 17, Jesus says, even the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, capital S, will be with you and in you. And as we are the temple of God, there is some kind of mystical connectedness there. I would also point out to you John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. Jesus breathes the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. So there's that Holy Spirit from Christ being breathed upon them. And I think that's another argument for filioque, but if you remember our class a few weeks ago. But there's that. It's the same one Holy Spirit in each of them, right? So there's some kind of a living, vital. The Holy Spirit's a living. He is God, and he's a real person, right? As we are all family and children of God, is it not the same Holy Spirit that testifies to each of our spirits that we are the sons of God? And speaks for us to the Father, and thus we have some connection with one another through him. And in a very real sense, with some kindred spirits, it's as if they are here. You know, that sense of feeling like you always know someone, even if you've never met them face to face. You feel like you know them better than a lot of people that are around you all the time. You know what I mean? It's especially Christians. You have that experience where you meet a Christian for the first time, you're traveling, maybe like when we've stayed with people in Presbytery, or just you happen to run into a Christian and you're talking, and it's like you've always known them. It's as if they've always known you. And maybe you don't see them for years, and then you see each other again, it's like you started right where you started off. There's just an immediate connection. That's a real thing. That's a spiritual thing. And you know it when it's there, and you know it when it isn't probably really there, right? It's a real thing. And it continues. It's a real thing that is there and always continues, therefore. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. And though the webcast makes it more immediate and live in a sense, and though it's still not physical, isn't it lovely to consider that the Renners may at this moment be live watching and listening to the worship service tonight, feeding off the word live with you? They could watch, they could listen to sermons that have been pre-recorded. They could watch a video that's been pre-recorded. Nothing wrong with that if you can't do it, but it's better if they can and better if we can be connected live. And it encourages me to know that they don't have to physically be here with us to be with us in the Spirit. And vice versa. Again, physically present is ideal and the main prerogative. But there's sometimes a reality, as Paul's expressing to the Colossians, that we are separated, absent in the body, and yet we can still be present together in the Spirit. And it's a neat thing to consider that right now. And our sister Eleanor watching with their eyes, sharing with their souls, even at a distance, because they have that connectedness by covenant. They have that same Spirit. This is where they want to be. As many of you have expressed, when you can't be here, that's where I want to be. We're in the same Spirit. We're in presence in the Spirit in that sense, but also by the Holy Spirit. Though limited in space, we're not limited as much in the Spirit. While long-distance relationships usually don't work, absence only makes the heart grow fonder for fellow Christians. We are always spiritually connected and virtually as one, and more than just by representation, but in and with Christ. So we do have a federal union, and I would say that's still primary by covenant with Christ our head and representative. But there is truly a spiritual, vital, mystical union together. If we do sit in the heavenlies with him together, Colossians chapter 3, so that we are serving surely in some connected capacity, even while often apart on this earth. I mean, if our lives are hid together with Christ in the heavens at God's right hand by his throne, then surely we're serving together with some kind of connectedness, especially as we're physically able to be together. But even as we're apart, that's not severed. It's really a special thing, this fellowship we have, this koinonia. That said, there is a kindred spirit among Christians that Paul is primarily, if not exclusively, speaking about. I recognize that. I understand why it's translated with a lowercase s. I'm with you in the Spirit. And yet, I think that's something to just be thinking is such a wonderful thing and be blessed by. I am with you in the Spirit. I am so committed to you, it's as if I'm right there with you when I can't be. I'm thinking about you all the time. I'm praying for you all the time. I want to know what's happening as soon as it's over. I'm rejoicing in what's happening to rejoice over. You should have seen Linda's text hearing about Pat. She was so delighted. And I grieve and concern with what you are. We are one, and we share that Spirit together. But frankly, some people are present in the body, but not present in the Spirit. Know what I mean? You know, they were with us, but they were not of us, as Paul said, and that usually at some point proves itself. They're somewhere else, we say, because they do not share a common interest. They do not share the common affection for us and of us and with us. We feel often much closer to others that may be at a distance, because while they couldn't always be with us, they're sharing the same spirit. They're with us in the spirit, although there can be people in the pews that are physically present, but not with us in the spirit. I think that contrast is important to help us appreciate what Paul's saying and what we do share with one another in Christ. Those distant from us, though near, usually end up with no physical proximity. We do not live our lives by proxy. Hear that clear. We do not live our lives by proxy. But approximation is not completely without warrant of comment in terms of how our covenant connectedness is expressed and experienced. Beloved, we are cut from the same cloth of Christ's righteous robe. We are branches grafted into the same vine of Christ. We are members of the same body of Christ, our head, and the life-giving flow is from his spirit. We are never completely apart. God is with us. And as well, we are always with one another in the Spirit. And that's the message for you this evening. And I hope that Eleanor is listening and watching. And although they only get to see me, they don't get to see all of you. I'm sure they'd prefer to turn the camera on. I hope the renters might be watching. And you can see them smiling right now, right? You can practically picture and hear it, right? Because we're of such the same Spirit and have been together and shared that same spirit. We are always with one another in the spirit. That's the message for you this evening. We are always with one another in the spirit. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we do thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, and we are in Christ and he in us. And thus, in our union with Christ, we are in union and communion together. Even when we are absent from the body, we can say to one another, out of our commitment to one another and our interest and our affection, that we are there in the Spirit. But also, we are together by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, this is a truth that will never be broken or severed, and that we will experience in an amazing, new, and lasting way in the new heavens and the new earth, in our resurrected bodies, reunited with our spirits as we gather around and worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the eternal day. O Lord, also present with you, Jesus, and your human body and spirit. Lord, we marvel over these things. They are mysteries, and yet you speak to them and pray, Lord, that what we do benefit from tonight, having built off of this morning, is that we're never alone, even when we find ourselves alone. We have fellowship with you, and in and through you, we have fellowship with one another. And as you give us the mind of Christ, it's as if our spirits are there with one another. Lord, bless our souls to rejoice in these things. Strengthen and encourage us in our walk for you together, even in our physical limitations at different parts of our life. And we do thank you for this encouraging truth, and pray that you bless us to marvel and rejoice in it as we marvel and rejoice in you and in one another and our connectedness together, our communion of the saints through our union in Christ. And we pray in his name. And all your people said, Amen.